This week on RSVNB Update, an overview of RunePass, Jagex's response to the community, how long it will be around for, and how a change in messaging could have altered the opinion on RunePass. Then a run-through of Elite Dungeon 2 rewards and the progress being made on RS Mobile. This is RSVNB Update, episode 678, recorded Thursday, July 5th, 2018. The two RuneScape bubbles. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once again for RSVNB Update. Tannis and myself are here, as we are each and every week. Tannis, welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
So, you know, there's very few things in life that get RuneScapers riled up these days as much as microtransactions, updates not being delivered as proper, or removal of the old wilderness in the olden days, or things known as the evolution of combat. And we're here one of those weeks, something related to microtransactions, so
here we are. Yeah, this was the silent but deadly promo right here. I didn't see it coming, but
yeah,
wow.
And you know, I just want to get some stuff out of the way first right now. And you know, for those of you guys who didn't listen to the live stream, or you're perhaps listening, but you know, the sources you're listening to are a little bit skewed in terms of what they're offering. Basically, RunePass on its own is not considered an internal update by Jagex, but as was discussed on the live stream, it got its own update news post, it got its own game reset, and it even got patch notes. So there was, you know, some question about why it was in that case. And I think the thing that we can say at the end of this is that they wanted RunePass to be out on its own so they could gauge reaction to just RunePass and not have that link to any kind of other specific update. Had it come out with last week's Elite Dungeon, perhaps.
Right. And I think, you know, having its own news post and drawing all attention because they want people to engage with it. When you did that, though, you kind of made it all blurry. And instead of people realizing, hey, this is pretty much just a patch week, people thought this is the update. So
right.
That's, you know, that doesn't get you started on the right foot.
Yeah. And, you know, also there's the live events blog post that we talked about last week, which, you know, if you think about it, that live events blog post had most of the information about RunePass in it already. And, you know, when it comes down to it, that information also wasn't relayed to the front end of the news post here, because it says this event is a pilot for the new RunePass system, so it's a shorter version of something we hope to implement later on. But if you go into the actual live events blog post here talking about RunePass, it's a two-week event which acts as a trial to which we'll collect feedback and monitor how people play before deciding on whether or not to pursue it as a larger project. So that's also something that was missed in the news posting and was hit home heavily in the live stream this week, was that, you know, this is just a trial. If it's not good, it might not ever come back in the future. So that's also something that has been missed. So it's not as though this is going to be a recurrence yet, and it's not as though you're going to see exactly what we saw here this week as something that's going to be coming into game, as is every other time. So I think we can now talk a little bit about what RunePass is. So this is effectively a two-week-long progression promotional event, in that you log in and there will be little daily tasks that you complete. There's two tracks you can do. You can do the free track or you can do the golden track. So if you are using the free track and you're attempting to move through the RunePass, you will unlock a series of cosmetic overrides along the way. You get three cosmetic rewards at tiers 2, 6, and 12 with the unstable alchemy animation, which was previously in Solomon's General Store and still is at tier 18. And that's if you're progressing along the free track. Now, in doing this, there's a set of weekly achievements you can do. So, for example, one of them is to complete either, I think it was 10 Slayer tasks or 10 Reaper tasks. And in doing that, you will get 25 stars. So you can do that once per week. Complete 5 or 10 Slayer tasks. I think it was 5. Might have been 10. But that's the kind of task we're looking at here in terms of the free tasks. But there are also simpler tasks where you can earn various amounts of XP. So, for example, you can earn 10,000 XP, 100K XP, 250K XP, 1 million XP, and 5 million XP. And for each of these, you progress along and you get 1 star. So that's the free way of doing it. It's just earning XP and unlocking the tasks as you go. Now, I don't think there's anything specifically wrong with tying it towards an XP curve or little tasks like that, right?
Well, no, actually, I think this is just a little bit more interesting than what we've seen in the past, because when you think about it, we're getting XP when we would do the currency events, only you were getting currency in return for that XP, essentially.
Exactly.
You know? So this, to me, doesn't seem any different whatsoever, other than we're not going to make up some goofy currency to give you for doing what you're doing anyway.
And see, that's one of the first things that I thought of when I saw this. But as we said before, there's two very different schools of thoughts to this. The first school of thought is that this is a huge microtransaction promo worth $15 that you might need to buy into if you want access to all the rewards that have access to it when you're either paying, you know, $9.99 a month for membership, or you bought that Golden Premier Club package and you're being asked to pay another $15 a month. And, you know, to the people who are saying that, I think that is a completely fair argument with that, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we might as well take that off the table right now and just say, like, I 100% believe that the Premier Club members should have had this included.
Exactly.
That being said, I do understand that they needed to limit the amount of variables.
They needed to see how many people would actually pay for it, because it is a promotion.
Yes, but the Premier Club, that they should have it. That should be something included if this is to ever go forward.
Yeah, and that was addressed in the live stream that, you know, Premier Club could include, you know, a certain number of rune passes or maybe old rune passes that you can complete. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that you can see something like that happening. Now, let's talk about the gold track, because I think that's what most people are ultimately going to be concerned about with this. So if you look at the gold track with this, that's what you need to ultimately pay 400 rune coins to unlock. And that will give you 8 large stars, 2 huge stars, 6 large lamps, 2 huge lamps, the Ocean's Warrior cosmetic override, as well as some protein items, some Silverhawk down, tight springs, and the Alliance title when you ultimately complete it. And the paid pass also gives you a more diverse variety of tasks you can do in addition to the XP tasks. So, for example here, the first task that came in when Rune Pass was brought in on Monday was that you have to successfully cook 28 items or pickpocket 50 times. Other ones introduced the following days were complete a daily challenge, complete a clue scroll, gain 50 points from the Guthixian caches, cash 5 safes, gather 50 logs, or bury 50 bones. So those are the kind of tasks that the gold track unlocks with Rune Pass. Now, so we already talked about the fact that, you know, people are being asked to pay a little bit extra for this. And, you know, when you're paying that amount of membership in-game, that's a monetization model that, you know, is, I think, what is giving it the unfair representation that, you know, this is just a money grab event. I think at least that's the way I look at it. And I tried to look at this in an unbiased way, because what I did, first of all, with this is I read the news post. I experienced it in-game myself. I formed my own opinion. Then I started to look and see what other people were talking about with this. And that's where I saw all the, you know, various concerns about MTX and whatnot. So I had my side. I had the side of the people who are against this because of MTX. Then I went to get Jagex's point of view with the live stream, which I highly recommend everyone watch. It's about an hour live stream, probably more about half hour if you just want to watch the Rune Pass stuff. We'll have a full link in that at the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. But it is definitely worth watching. We'll have a recap of that in just a little bit. So I think when it comes down to it, and we're looking at the way Rune Pass is ultimately structured here, what we have here is a new way at attempting monetization of the game of RuneScape. Now, I'm going to give my personal opinion on this right now because I think it's a good time to do that. And I can save to me these little achievements along the way that are, you know, somewhat diverse, like cooking logs, getting XP along the way, maybe burying some bones. Those are more palatable to me than daily challenges, just as an example. So I actually like the Rune Pass system. The only reason I'm not jumping up and down about it right now is because I needed to maintain a level of prudence coming into this week's podcast recording. And let's be real here. I'm not truly fussed about the rewards we can get from this one.
Right.
So.
And I think that's completely fair. And I'm of a similar mindset. I almost feel like, if anything, the gold tier that you pay for, maybe not generous enough. Because you are paying for it.
Yeah.
You should have.
I mean, you're effectively paying 3 bonds for it, which is $15. So.
Yeah, but in the amounts of XP, it's really not that much. Yeah. When you think about it, what you're paying for really, you know, in my mind, amounts to the pet.
The legendary.
And that's actually a good deal. That's actually a really good deal for that legendary pet and everything else to go along with it. That's a pretty good deal in all reality. Now, I think part of what is, you know, I don't know if this is what messed people up or not, but after listening to the stream and knowing what they're trying to do, I mean, they didn't even try that hard to like name it something different. This is obviously a
Fortnite clone.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I think what they need to remember is something, you know, to think about is Fortnite is a free game. You can pay for the single player, but it's a free game. And Fortnite doesn't have, like, I know they kept, Mod Osmar kept talking about progression. Well, in my opinion, there isn't progression.
Yep.
There's doing tasks and stuff like that, but you don't progress the way that you do in an MMO, where you're building a character. Everyone in that 100-man battle royal, they got the same damn character. They just look different. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing. So My feeling is, does this fit the game of RuneScape? And I'm still kind of on the fence for that because I don't find it intrusive. I don't feel a need to have to do this like you do with daily challenges because sometimes those are so good that you can't walk away from. Yep. See, this feels like I might do it, I might not. Like it's not dictating my gameplay, which I think is actually a good thing that they kind of hit the right balance on that. But if I were to pay for it, I might want a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and you know, speaking of paying for it, there was a little good discussion on Twitter yesterday. The fellow known as I'm Rubik, who has sent in a question for the show before, did tweet to Mod Osborne and Mod Salen and said, "I'd love to see a rune pass that involves obtaining the rune coins required to purchase it as you progress through the event, similar to how Fortnite's Battle Pass works." And Mod Osborne's reply to that was, "Sounds good to me." So, and that's the thing that I think was also missed in this update is that so many people are up in arms about this. But just look at this one tweet and see how receptive Mod Osborne is to a suggestion on it. And I said this week on the Weekly Bite as well. I said, you know, if you guys have feedback about this, leave it with Jagex, but at the end of the day, be civil.
Yeah. Well, you know why that is, Shane? Because it's an experiment.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This, they're putting this out there. Now, granted, they could have done a lot better job. They could have prepared people for this, and they could have...
Yeah.
I mean, but it's this double-edged sword of how much do you prepare the community that you know could have this reaction, but you don't want to bias the results of your experiment. So it's a tough situation to be in, but as for another avenue of monetization, I don't think that in of itself is bad. We need to realize that at the end of the day, they are a company and they are going to try to maximize their profits. Yes. And if you are willing to pay a little bit of money to look a little different than the person next to you, there's nothing wrong with that. And believe me, everyone in the industry is looking at what Fortnite is doing because they are making ungodly sums of money off of different colored shirts. I mean, seriously, they're not offering people anything other than cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
And they are raking it in. So of course every company is going to want to look at it. My concern is, how do we make this fit RuneScape? How do we make this fit what exactly. we are?
And, you know, I just want to go back to the monetization aspect of it just for a bit. You know, this was the number one thing I heard from people in the producers group here who produce RSPNB Update, to people who commented on YouTube, to people I have talked with in-game. The issue is not that this is here. The issue is that you are putting this into game and you need to pay a little bit extra to be able to access that gold tier, which is, you know, $15, which is expensive. That's basically more than 1 month of membership.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no way of getting it in-game aside from, you know, buying bonds. And, you know, while we're on this track, we could also go to another thing that needs to be addressed in-game, and that is the fact that there are ways in-game of buying XP for GP. All you need to do is you need to go camp Telos for hours, mm-hmm. buy bonds, and buy treasure hunter keys.
Yeah. That's already there.
And... You know, that's what I don't get about this update is that, you know, it's I get the fact that people are upset about needing to pay extra to complete something when they already have, you know, what is the top membership package, Gold Premier Club, right? I get that fact. I get that part of it. I get that you're paying membership and you don't want to pay more. I totally get that. And that's what I said to everyone who... Mm-hmm. who was there. But what I don't get is I don't get how microtransactions are such a big deal when a promo comes out, but we so very rarely hear about the amount of GP that things like Telos bring into the game, and the fact you can buy bonds with that and just buy XP if you're you know, able to kill Telos down to a system.
Oh, hey, we don't want to let the little dirty secrets of PVM out now, right? Do we?
So, yeah. And you know, that's, and you know, that was also the thing to me that kind of stuck out with this as being kind of an issue of perception and not really a real issue at all with this, is that there are things that are far more insidious in game right now for microtransactions. So what I'd like to do right now is, you know, I think we've addressed what the community said with this quite well. And, you know, many of the community people are against this. Just for that payment aspect. I don't think anyone is against cosmetics. Unless you're, you know, some kind of MTX purist, right?
And if you were, you're probably playing OS, right?
Right.
You know. Being an Iron Man. Hey, you can be an Iron Man.
Or that, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Jagex's response to this was slow. And it was brought up in the live stream that, oh, maybe, you know, Jagex is taking its time to respond to these things because they respond to MTX bugs faster than they respond to real bugs in game. But what they said they needed to do and what they have learned that they need to do is that they can't just send a JMod into, you know, Reddit or Twitter over the weekend to respond to something, because that, in effect, becomes the Jagex response, which isn't what they want. The Jagex response mm-hmm. was given on this week's live stream. And I'm going to say to anyone here who is upset with this update or has issues with it that you need to go and watch the first half hour of the live stream this week and get Jagex's response from it and see if that changes your opinion at all about Rune Pass. Because that's something that everyone is missing.
You know, for the life of me, I don't know how this could have happened, but I really feel like they didn't see this coming. I feel like they didn't see this backlash coming. And it kind of blows me away.
Part of the reason they didn't see it coming was because they talked about it on the live events blog post. And apparently they thought that would get the point across because most of the talk in the live events post thread was about Rune Pass.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's a deep, that the people that read those posts and we try to help. I know we mentioned it on the show and stuff, but it's still a smaller section than the whole community getting a hold of something. And then it only takes a few people to start spinning it, right?
Exactly.
And then it gets into some of the social media areas that aren't so nice. And it snowballs.
And at this point, I'd say we're effectively having what can be called the group hallucination going on here. Because I read the news post. I looked at Rune Pass. I then looked at what people were saying about it. And then I watched the live stream. And because I feel like I was actually specifically looking for this, I got two distinct messages. I got one message from the community online and one message from Jagex. And they're two competing messages. And even, I think, with the live stream, the people who are against this are still seeing their message in the Jagex live stream, if that makes sense.
They are, but I also think that, you know, I don't know. I thought we were starting to turn this around a little bit. I thought Jagex was starting to turn it around a little bit.
And
but
that's the other big
immediately, deal. Yeah, it's like immediately the first wrong step they did, people took it as Jagex was out to get them. They're making money. Well, yeah, they're making money. Jeez. Like, that's what they're. You better hope that they make money or you ain't going to have a game. But I mean, but I just felt like people took, just jumped to the negative connotation to it. Like immediately, like, Jagex.
Yeah.
It's like, and I'll joke around about that. If they screw up or something, I'll be like, you know, they did it again. But the feedback I saw, they weren't joking.
Nasty.
They were mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that all comes down to this news posting here, because not once in the news post does this mention that this is a event that could very well not come back and that your feedback is going to shape it. They say, yeah, you know, we look forward to your feedback and ideas. And sure, everyone says that, right? Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it at the end of the day, saying that as a company with something related to microtransactions doesn't build goodwill. So
no, and this is, and look, I understand people's hesitation here, because let's face it, if this is another monetization model, if it's, you know, it is something that they're probably going to want to try to do. That makes it even more important that you give constructive criticism so you shape it in a non-egregious way and a way that it's going to be good for your game, good for everybody, because look, they're going to want to make this work. What company wouldn't? So it's real important that instead of just being like, oh, you suck, you're vampires.
You gotta say what you're actually thinking and put it into words that convey that without being inflammatory.
Yeah.
I said that on the Weekly Bite. So
right,
and you know, this,
and you wrote about
to
it
our
before.
Credit, this has been one of the best viewed Weekly Bites thus far. Over 300 plus views on this one.
Oh wow! Yeah, so, very, very cool.
Now, you want to hear how I would have handled this?
I'm guessing you would have had a different way of handling the PR, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And announcing it? Okay, yeah.
So,
how would you do it, Shane?
So basically, you know, you want to make sure that this is going to be interacted with on its own in full. And you know, that's fine. Now, I think what would have built a good deal of goodwill with this is if this first gold track would have been unlocked to people who had the Premier Club. Yep. I think that would have helped.
I agree.
But at the same time, we know that this is designed to spur monetization for people who don't have Premier Club. So the question is, would people have still bought it even if it wasn't with their Premier Club? And that's, you know, the million-dollar question that would have needed to be answered with this. So as much as I want to say you need to include it with Premier Club, what I would have done instead is the following. Number one, you announced this when you announced the what was effectively, let's just call it the semi-Premier Club, a few weeks ago when they were offering that membership package where you can get all the gold Premier Club deals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you announced this then and say, hey, we're bringing out something new called Rune Pass, and it's going to be a new way of unlocking you know, various cosmetic rewards and whatnot. And we're going to just trial it with a few things that you're familiar with, like, you know, Silverhawk Down, Tight Springs, protein items, and a few stars along the way. So we're just going to trial it with that. And with this, we want to know what you think about it. And in doing that, I would have taken this to one of their, you know, live streams where they showcase the content in game and show how the progression works with this. And, you know, maybe even have it replace the Premier Club vault that we have access to, right? Because, you know, when you look at the gold track here, and I'll just recap again, the gold track gives you 8 large stars, 2 huge stars, 6 large lamps, and 2 huge lamps. I'm pretty sure you can get that from your Premier Club vault and your first daily keys of the month.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, I mean...
Well, yeah, that it's just taking the RNG out of it. It's all it is.
Exactly. Like
you're taking the gambling out of the treasure hunter, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, given where things are going. So
yes,
I understand that Jagex wants to do the test of how much people are interacting with it, but I don't have the numbers on how many people have purchased Premier Club. If it's north of, you know, I don't know, let's say 40% of the active membership base purchase Premier Club, I personally think that would be a bit high, but I'm not entirely sure what the numbers are on that. But let's just say 40% of the membership base purchased Premier Club. Then I think at that point you can give out the first Rune Pass to the people with Premier Club and see how this goes, because you can effectively extrapolate from that how many people are going to be interacting with it going forward. So I would have made it a lot more easier to access the gold tier of it because, you know, let's face it, everyone playing the game doesn't want to pay extra for it. And if they're playing the game seriously, mm-hmm. there's a good chance that they did purchase Premier Club. So that's the first thing I would have done. The second thing I would have done is I would not have effectively released it and had it be out to a point where it looked like it was the only games update.
Yes.
So to combat that, what I would have done is this week would have been purely a patch notes week. And this would have come out on Thursday, as do the other MTX, Treasure Hunter, Solomon's General Store promos.
That would have went, I think, a long way of alleviating some of the confusion. And also, if you do give it to the Premier people, then you've taken away a huge argument that people are able to stand on. Because, so you have arguments that are you kind of got to stretch to make some of them. But because you have such a legitimate argument with the Premier Club, it makes the other arguments look more feasible, in my opinion. So it's like, You're cutting both of those things right there. Boom. And so you're already starting off on a better foot. The only thing I could possibly even add to that is, no, actually, you know what? I wouldn't add anything because that actually makes it real clean and nice. What I was thinking, though, is this actually does clean up. You know, if this were replacing challenges and stuff like that, then you're actually cleaning up Dailyscape a little bit.
Right. And that was another thing that was
been
addressed
built
in
that
the live
way.
Stream. You know, is that these stack up over time. You don't need to log in each day without them disappearing.
Right. So, I mean, I, you know, that's another angle, but I think you're probably.
Yeah. And I would have I would have done one more thing, a big thing, to make it appear less as a pay to win treasure hunter promo in disguise. I would have removed the protein items, the fallen stars, from the gold track.
Yeah, and well, instead, that would actually tell you better.
And instead, what I would have done is I would have just given out XP for XP lamps for completing the various challenges along the way. They could have still been prismatic, mm-hmm. but, you know, just remove the things like the bonus XP stars and whatnot, and just have it be like completing a challenge where you get XP for it.
Yeah. I wouldn't see anything wrong with that, you know, whatsoever.
Because, I mean, why is the what is the number one reason people block challenges when they're almost maxed except for Dungeoneering? It's to do the Dungeoneering Daily Challenge, which gives you XP.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there's that. So I think that would have went a long way to doing it as well, especially, you know, the portable skilling items as well. Those are kind of powerful. You know, and bringing it out beyond that, I think another good thing to do would have been, you know, for the non-Premier Club members, or you could have just made it available like this to everyone and made it as that tweet said. And, you know, as you progress, you gain enough of a rune coin to unlock the next gold tier or something like that. And I think that would have gone a long way to fixing this problem.
I think so too. And like I said, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that, as much as what I would have thought goodwill they've built up just went.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if it disappears because, you know, how Elite Dungeon 2 goes is going to play a big role into that.
Oh, Elite Dungeon 2. Why you got to break my heart? Why you break my heart?
So. And, you know, I think if it were done in that way and the community was more involved from the beginning and they knew it was coming and there was effectively a way to progress through this for the Premier Club members or even a way for gameplay to unlock the various gold tiers with that, I think that would have been a good thing to do. And, I mean, you know, you could have multiplied the amount of challenges by, you know, by, I don't want to say by 10, maybe by 5, the amount of XP you would need to get for these in order to unlock all of them. But I think as long as there would be a way for people to get the gold items, even if they were doing, you know, 10 times the amount of XP, there are people out there who would have done that. Because you and I both know that it's very easy for someone to get 10 million XP, 50 million XP in the span of 14 days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the XP challenges and whatnot could have even been multiplied by 10, and I think that still would have been fair to access the gold track with that, if something like that was wanted. But
yeah, I think that would have went a really long way, because now you're knocking out the last leg to have to stand on, which is, you know, you can't access it unless you pay. So if you could access it without that, even if it was a high barrier, it's still better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then there's a bit of a rundown on how the response to this could have been perhaps made better. Now, I want to go into the Q&A about this and, you know, in particular, talk about some of the things that were mentioned with this. And, you know, we might have gone through these, we might have touched on them already. So why was the decision made to make this another payment? And how can it be justified? And the answer was given was that an experiment and it might never come back again. And the way the microtransaction team works is that they're given targets to achieve and then the team decides how to meet these targets. And they know that smoldering lamps are a detriment to the game because, you know, you just have to look at XP gains when smoldering lamps are there and they just shoot through the roof. So, and One thing that did not come out in the news post, did not come out in the live events post, but did come out in the live stream, is that the Rune Pass, the ability to have people purchase the Rune Pass and work on these tracks, they could take the focus away from other promos, Mod Osborne said. They could take the promos away from Treasure Hunter, power-up promos, or maybe even membership price, if enough people engage with this.
Yeah.
And I think that is the shining star with this that was missed along the way.
I think so, but you know, I think the reason it was missed was because that didn't fall into the narrative that some people were trying to
Exactly. The narrative was that this is another microtransactions promo where the money has to flow into Jagex. Jagex doesn't want to see anything. They don't want to see any of their promos go down, as they say. And, you know, I am paraphrasing there what parts of the community say. That is indeed not what we think here. So
no.
Now, the question was also asked, what happens if this – what determines if this ends up happening again? And the answer to this was they'll be looking at how many people are completing it, how many people are buying into it, and how many people – are unlocking certain things. And this is, to me, is what makes it would make it so that it's all right to have, you know, say 10 times the XP needed to be earned to unlock the cosmetics on the gold track, for example. I don't think unlocking, you know, XP and whatnot on the gold track without paying would probably be a good idea. But I think this line right here, the fact that they want, you know, it to be not RNG based and you don't get XP thrown away, is what gives Rune Pass its legs to stand on with this. And what would make it good, even if you had to do 10 times the amount of XP to get the cosmetics on the gold track. Now,
yeah, no, I agree.
And, you know, they say with this that this is a very sparse rune track, and the free track could actually become more generous. And there could be different rewards, for example. And, you know, I alluded to this already, and I was thinking this before the I watched the live stream. They said there could be no XP, there could be no protein, there could be no treasure hunter items. The gold pass could be purely cosmetic in the future.
And I think that would be...
And this Great. Goes back to what I said about removing all those treasure hunter items from the very beginning with it. Because if this was just Solomon general store items, I don't think people would have complained about it.
Yeah, you know, but it's just, I don't know. The items, they didn't make a new item. All these items are available. And they weren't, like I said, it's not even that generous in my opinion. I'm not compared to what you can get on Treasure Hunter if your luck holds out.
Yeah, yeah. So now, how could this interact with Premier Club members? And they said that maybe Premier Club members could get a certain number of Rune Passes or older Rune Pass access. And I think that is something that definitely needs to happen. So they're definitely on the right track with that. And, I mean, I'm not also just going to go back to this. When you send profanity-laden tweets to Jagex about this, that is not helping anyone's case with this. So, now, moving on with this, it was packaged on its own, so that wouldn't be overshadowed by anything else. We already talked about that. Just do a patch week and release it on Thursday then. That might have been better. Mod Osborne then talked about how Jagex posts on Twitter or Reddit, and then it becomes quoted elsewhere in Jagex's response on, and becomes Jagex's stance on whatever it was, even if it wasn't the official company stance, if it was just some Jmod posting somewhere that is the stance, and it ultimately becomes the point that everyone talks about, and it becomes amplified, and sometimes what is there isn't actually what's happening inside the company. And then they said Rune Pass wasn't communicated effectively in the blog post, and you know, with this basically confirms what we've been saying all along with this update, is that this update was a bad PR move, really, and that's what it's boiled down to. That's what all the bad reaction is coming from. And they said the 2-week trial period was actually missed by most players who were complaining.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Then Mudshawney asked, would the reaction have been different if there was a live stream on the subject? And, you know, they hemmed and hawed about that. And, you know, I think we answered that question for them this week.
Yeah. Of course it would have been different.
Yeah. Has it been successful? Well, 3 times more engagement than things like those bingo card promos or the summer road trip ones. 3 times more engagement.
Hmm.
And this effectively, they say, is a shadow of what it could be in terms of rewarding things. And this means that it's in the same ballpark revenue-wise as Treasure Hunter promos, which, I mean, when you think about it, and the fact that they are offering a very, very small amount of XP and protein items on there, is good. And this is where Mod Osborne got really passionate about this because, you know, he said that it's effectively could allow them to not run Treasure Hunter promos as much, not run the Power Up promos, not run Smoldering Lamp promos, not run those promos that everyone feels are stupidly overpowered. So those are my words, not his. He didn't say they were stupidly overpowered. Then the question came up about Dailyscape. Why are there these daily tasks? And, you know, that's what it appears like on the surface, but there's actually a stockpile of challenges that were be available. You don't need to log in every day or on certain days. And if this were taking the place of challenge, it would track forward as the time progresses, and you could complete it later on, unlike the daily challenges. So this is, and you know, this is actually what gets me about this update, is I see this as the free track being a replacement for daily challenges, personally.
Yeah, I do too, and I think it would be it would be nice because you wouldn't feel like I said earlier, you wouldn't feel obligated that you had to, because if you didn't, you're really losing out.
Yeah,
that's my big gripe with the daily challenges. They're so good that you have to
engage with them. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Now I want to highlight the 2 different stories that are happening here. So there was a part in the stream where Mod Orion talked about Smoldering Lamps, and you know, on Reddit there are the posts that are called the too long don't watch posts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in here, under the how we gauge its success section, and I'm thinking that this is what was quoted all around, and it was quoted as there being, as it's saying, would players rather a Rune Pass or a Smoldering Lamps promo? And when you read this on this posting here, it makes it sound like Jagex was saying, hey, you either take Rune Pass and you like it, or you have Smoldering Lamps. That's what it sounded like in this post here. So I was sent that, and, you know, that's what was causing a large amount of uproar at the time, is that it was ultimate like that. And Smoldering Lamps was a big topic in this posting here. So, and there were people debating it and going back and forth on that, which, I mean, rightly so. I don't know anyone who likes Smoldering Lamps unless you get the odd run from doing your daily keys or something like that. But now I want to go back to the point in the live stream where this was actually said. So let's just have a listen right here with this.
That's fine.
I'd be really interested to gauge the opinion of the players and find out what they prefer. Do they prefer a Smoldering Lamps promo,
yeah,
or do they prefer Rune Pass? Because I'm not extremely well involved in the design process of Rune Pass, but it looks to be a lot more well thought out than throwing XP in some chests.
Yeah.
And so personally, I would prefer, I might even spend money on it. That's the kind of thing that I would look at. Rune Pass and these battle pass style things with progression seem to be a preference.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think that what we've got is a bit of a one-way process. Mm. At the moment, it is Mod Salen stands on a cliff and throws out a dev blog. What we don't have is a two-way dialogue. I think that's something we can work on. I'll take that back from the sofa. I think that part of the problem is people don't feel listened to or what have you. So off the back of this, I'd love people, I'm going to regret it, but, you know, talk to me on Twitter and put posts up on Reddit, on constructive stuff, because, you know, only 20% of it has been constructive so far, but I completely understand that.
Yeah.
There we have it. 20% has been constructive so far. And as you heard it right there, this was an off-the-cuff remark here by Mata Ryan, who said he would personally be interested to see what people prefer. And it's not a question. It's not a question of one or the other. It was just a personal question asked on the live stream by Mata Ryan.
No, well, there was a hell of a lot of context that was around that one statement that if you didn't watch the live stream, you wouldn't have gotten.
Yeah. And, you know, that minute from the live stream there sums this up entirely and why people are having two very different opinions about it. And that is the entire problem with this update, is that we're at a point here with this microtransaction update where one side of the community is driving the narrative on this, and Jagex's narrative is not getting through. And, you know, he knows that. You heard what Maude Osborne said there. And it's really unfortunate, because I think if everyone complaining about it had heard the 30 minutes of the live stream, or had known what Rune Pass was actually about, or had a way of accessing the gold track without paying $15, I think that would have been a better way of going about this.
Yeah, it would have.
I mean, but like there was the tweet as well from Maude Osborne. Get rune coins to unlock the various tiers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, at this point, I don't know what there is left to say on this, aside from, you know, the fact that in the future, Premier Club should mean Premier, and that you get some amount of rune passes for the year that you can use. You get the discount for Rune Metrics, or maybe even a free month or two of Rune Metrics, I think would be good. I also think it would be a good idea for people who are buying the Premier Club, emphasis on the Premier membership, to have the ability to turn off the ads and turn off the microtransaction promotions in-game if they wanted to.
Yeah, because, that would be great.
Because you're paying for... what is, you know, in effect, the premium RuneScape membership. People should have the ability, if they opted into that huge package, to turn off the ads, turn off cosmetics if they don't want to see them, and, you know, turn off Treasure Hunter if they so desire. You're paying for that, for all those keys. You should have the right to fully ignore them. And yeah, I think that would 100%. Be a good template for the next Premier Club. So,
yeah, give this to the Premier Club. That's 100%. And for everyone else, take this as an opportunity to shape the kind of microtransactions that are going to be in the game. Because look, whether it's Smolting Lamps, maybe that was worded bad, but there are going to be microtransactions in the game. This is a much, I think this is a much less, intrusive way of doing it. So, take advantage
and
of that.
And remove the Treasure Hunter items from the gold pass.
Mm-hmm. And give that feedback, because this is an opportunity to shape that, when we might not have, we didn't have this opportunity to shape it on Squeal or Treasure Hunter or anything else. So, why not try to shape it now?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll just recap what should probably be done in the future for this. Give the Premier Club members a couple of rune passes. Jagex can determine what the appropriate number is on that. Also, make it so that there aren't as many, seemingly overpowered Treasure Hunter items on the gold pass, such as the protein items, the bonus XP stars and whatnot. Make it purely cosmetic for the gold pass, and for the free track, I would love to see XP drops for the various skills related to the challenges on there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Is there anything else that, we'd like to see different on this? I mean, there's a rune coin idea that Maude Osborne commented about.
Yeah.
I think that would be neat to see how that would work in unlocking, various tiers and whatnot.
I think that would be That would be cool. It also has the added bonus of those rune coins could be used for whatever in the store. So there would be that too. That's like kind of last bastion of inaccessible things that you can only get from money.
Yeah, and I think the biggest issue with this is that it was unfortunately came out as its own update, when in reality it probably should have taken the place of the Thursday Treasure Hunter update and just had this as a patch week. I mean, you can have patch weeks, right?
We've had them plenty of times before.
Yeah.
I mean, does anyone remember the first half of 2017? I do.
Yeah.
But Shane does.
Yeah. And I mean, this all also overshadowed the other stuff that was talked about in this news post. And, you know, in particular, that is that the Elite Dungeon competition was extended. And we have screenshots here of the Solak Players Gallery for Players Gallery, number 60 here. So the first place winner was Iron Bubs, won a month of free membership, 3 bonds, 400 rune coins, and a unique 3D printed, hand-painted figurine of Solak. And you can see that right here. It actually looks kind of like a movie theater poster for Solak. The other second place one was Bunny Ribbon as well. That one's a pretty nice one there. And yes, No Anime Styles won, as we talked about when that Solak gallery was happening. So, and you know, this is completely overshadowed this, and there are indeed some good pieces of artwork here. So I would say, you know, everyone needs to remember to have a look at these artworks along the way. So, all right. So that's Rune Pass. I think we have covered that and provided the missing side of the story on it. So
I hope so. I hope so.
I hope so too. All right. Well,
are you ready to break my heart again?
Yeah. Elite Dungeons, right?
Yeah.
So what was the issue with the Elite Dungeon stream for you?
Because this is something that I love, and I can't do it unless I get through the first one. But I love dragons and dragonkin, and oh, it's going to be so cool. But not for me, because I haven't made it through the first dungeon. And you can't go to the second one unless you go through the first one. So...
yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, and you know, it's something that everyone is, of course, looking into, and we'll talk about that in the patch notes as well. You know, after we recorded last week, David and I head back down there with one of his friends, and we beat the dungeon in, you ready for this? Mm-hmm. 23 minutes.
Okay.
And that was before they made it easier for trios. So,
okay.
Now, moving on to Elite Dungeons 2. All boss dragons will use new models here. The existing dragon models in game are from 2009.
And we're getting new dragons.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just hope they don't make them look goofy.
They showed them on the live stream, and oh boy, do they look great here.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
Yeah, so there's three bosses. The first one is effectively the first Celestial Dragon. The second one is a relative of the King Black Dragon, and this is, you know, they're calling it one of his brothers in quotation marks, so we'll have to see what that means with the lore on that, but it's got three heads just like the standard King Black Dragon. So, yeah, kind of interesting, right?
Oh, yeah, no, I can't. I mean, I can't wait. I wish this had been the first dungeon, you know, like everything about this one, I'm just like, yes, yes, you know? And
yeah, well, I mean, presumably there will be a story mode. And I think if I had one more person, I could probably get people through story mode on the first one. So that's something we should do.
See, I'm so afraid that I'm so bad, even with David and someone like him, that I don't know if they could carry me through it, because
right, and you know,
I'm just not good
did
enough.
We talk about the we talked about your accessibility issues last week with that one, so and it all comes down to Tanis using a screen magnifier, so basically describe to people what you can only see on the RS screen.
You know, just for an example, so if I am gathering energy on a at a WISP site, I can the portion of my screen that I can see is basically the WISP, my character, and my Divine-O-Matic, and like a tiny little corner of my action bar, just because of the way that I have it situated on my screen. And that's at 300%. Is what I have mine magnified to. So I can see the stuff much, much better, but I can only see a small amount of that stuff. So the problem is when you're in combat, you're only seeing a tiny little part of what's actually going on the whole screen, which makes mechanics really difficult for me to like navigate. That's why the tank and spank bosses I can do, but the ones where you got to do the RuneScape two-step, not so much. Because I physically can't see the boss when it makes the move that tells me I have to move. Like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
So,
I want to get to, I mean, obviously this Elite Dungeon looks beautiful. There's new lava and whatnot. I want to get to the biggest news from this part of the live stream that was talked about here. And that is, you know, there was lots of back and forth and whatnot going on, and they effectively, you know, they were waiting for people to respond or whatnot. But it was a decision from the top down to Mod Osborne that the Elite Dungeoneering outfit will just be released with Elite Dungeon 2. You know, there was talk about whether or not they could do it or whether or not it'd be Elite Dungeon 3. But, you know, you'll be able to get it now by getting scraps doing these Elite Dungeons, or well, in Dungeoneering, doing, you know, traditional Dungeoneering as well. So
that's good.
You'll be able to get that Elite Dungeoneering outfit with that. So I think people are going to be happy about that. And, you know, that's like the perfect kind of olive branch to extend to people. Okay.
Definitely. Well, and I didn't even think that was where you were going with that.
Oh,
I thought the really exciting, another exciting part was access to Lava Strikes.
Yeah, yeah.
In an area where you're not going to get decayed.
Right. So this is going to be a really important thing, and it's going to be interesting to see if the Lava Strike Worms will drop things on story mode, or if you need to go into normal mode for this, because Lava Strike Worms are indeed a good Slayer task to have, and their ashes are used in the Aggression Potions, which are super expensive.
Yeah, and well, and they dropped those level 85 weapons, like the component for the weapon, and they're not easy.
Yeah.
So even, and, you know, yeah.
And with this, I think Jagex is learning about these Elite Dungeons that they need to be more lucrative. And I don't think you get any more lucrative than Lava Strike Worms and what they can potentially drop until you get to this next point here. And that this next dungeon will be dropping full tier 92 Tectonic. They're not waiting until the third Elite Dungeon to do the chest piece. All of the three pieces are going to be able to be received with this dungeon here. So,
and notice they were getting blowback on that. I wonder where that was coming from.
Right, right. And they're even going to be adding full tier 92 Serenic to the Temple of Amanishi.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yep,
very cool. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's all there right now, and you're going to be able to do that before Elite Dungeon 2 comes out. That's going to be in a patch note for that. And the way it'll work is that they were debating whether or not it'll be a boss drop or whatnot, but they decided that it was going to be a token drop. So you will buy the token with Dungeoneering credits, and then you'll still need the scales and whatnot to make it. So it's going to be effectively unlocking tier 92 armor through Dungeoneering.
Okay. Well, hey, make Dungeoneering great again, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, people say they want skilling, or they want armor combat updates through skilling. So does this count?
Well, they could have at least picked a skill, right? I mean, this is kind of armor through minigame, but sure, we'll count it.
Yeah. So you will just purchase it in the Dungeoneering Reward Store, and you'll be able to make the Serenic chest piece and Tectonic chest piece after Elite Dungeon 2 comes out.
Hey, the good news is, if you're not a, you know, badass person at combat, you can probably still, you could still do this through Dungeoneering,
right?
Correct?
Like, yeah, and exactly. And, you know, with that, I'm kind of wondering if I should, you know, purchase the untradeable note paper token, or if I should wait and, you know, purchase one of these tokens when they come out for some tier 92 power armor.
I think you would probably be better served with note paper, but hey, maybe you're turning over a new leaf here. Maybe,
yeah, you're right. You're right. Tier 92 power armor is pretty. Someone like me probably don't need that.
It's pretty balls out, but hey, you know. Shane went and did a leap the engine. Now he's excited. I got this.
Anything else on Elite Dungeon 2? I think that covers most of the things I wanted to talk about with what was mentioned here. You know, it looks great, obviously.
I'm kind of excited for the lore of this. I love the Dragonkin storyline. Yep.
It'd be great if they could tie like that the, in.
Well, and the main boss, isn't it a Celestial that we know
they
created?
Yeah, the first one is a Celestial Dragon, the first ever Celestial Dragon. The second one is related to the King Black Dragon. They didn't show the third.
Okay, so it's gonna be cool. Yeah. It's probably gonna be impossible for me to do, but it's gonna look cool.
Yeah, definitely. that's all I got for that part of it. And then in the part about the beach, you know, 4 weeks long, new walk animations and other overrides, the ability to take your photo through one of those pieces of things where your head pops out and you'll be able to use that as your forum profile. And they did also mention that there will be gobies on the beach. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, the beach, cool. Yeah, that's going to be the highlight of it. But when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, the beach is the beach, right? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, grab some ice cream and... Yeah, I mean, it's the beach, but, you know, and I still think it's fun. I mean, hopefully we haven't gotten to the point where we can't, you know, collectively go to the beach. And that was kind of the big draw of it, you know, always has been, because everybody would hang out at the beach. So Hopefully we'll do that again.
All right. You ready for some patch notes?
Yeah, let's see what this patch week brought us.
Yeah, so lots about the first Elite Dungeon here, Temple of Amanishi, things being tweaked and whatnot going through it. So all members of the group will now be able to see random loot spawns within the Amanishi Dungeon. Cleanse Siri will no longer attempt to attack players directly under it, and that's at the end of the boss fight. So that's fun. Loot for non-group defeats of Siryu has been increased, so I guess if you just go in there as a pop-up group from the Temple of Amanishi. Prevented an issue in which player 2 of a Temple of Amanishi 2-player group couldn't rejoin the instance if they left or died. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Only a single Garajo card would be now taken upon activation in the Temple of Amanishi. Environment clipping... Increased the buy limit of ancient scales to 200. Previously, they were 2. And,
2?
Yeah, 2 only. Because they wanted to have people do the dungeon to get their elite scales for the Serenic armor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, with that, there is no demand for this right now because you can't get the chest piece. I tried selling my... 3 elite scales that I got for 500k each, no luck, so I'm going to wait until the chest piece is available.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Rare drop table loot will now go to the Amanishi chest. If it's toggled on, previously it would appear on the floor. Iron Men can now consistently gain rewards from killing bosses in the Amanishi dungeon. Iron Men will also now receive loot from bosses in Amanishi when they haven't dealt greater than 50% of the damage. So basically, I guess that means if an Iron Man is being carried through it, right?
Mm-hmm. And but 50% is a pretty high bar.
Yeah, if they haven't dealt greater than 50% damage, they will now get loot. Siryu's Black Crystals have been scaled down life point-wise when 2 players or 1 player in the arena when the fight is started. So this is effectively making the third boss kill a lot easier and a lot quicker to progress through in duo and single mode. And other than for Siryu itself, token rewards in story mode have been reduced to 10%. So 500 tokens rather than 5,000.
I still think that's too much. It's just way, they really nerfed it. I mean, I could have understood a little nerf, but man, 10%.
Well, I mean, with that, it was a perfect way of getting Dungeoneering tokens without it Dungeoneering. And we talked about this last week. So
I know. It's the idea. That's what I liked about it. That was the troll. Well, it's my dark light all over again.
Yeah, the dark light was effectively, I believe, like a tier 90 weapon against demons at one point.
Yes, it was. So. It was beautiful.
Corrected a situation in which players might not roll for loot and earn kill count when Siryu is defeated in mid-jump animation. That affected me on our first kill.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's now possible to obtain the little Tuzzy pet from Beastmaster Durzag while on a raid's lockout period. So you can do it for just the pet.
That's good.
And this was, of course, pulled and repulled. So. All right. Patch notes were kind of light this week, but I mean, I think that would have sufficed as a patch week, probably.
Yeah. So. I think so.
All right, so moving on to our next piece of news this week, and this is an update on RuneScape Mobile, believe it or not. We've been kind of wondering what exactly the state of this is, and it's something that is going to be very important going into the tail end of the year, I think, for Jagex to get done. So basically what they did in May 2018, they were running what they were calling a mobile playtest for iOS and Android devices from May 3rd to the 14th. And what they did with this is they introduced something called mobile gesture support, which allowed people to use the swipe and pinch functions for the first time. And the idea behind this is they moved the chat box and combat modes and whatnot. And they basically cleaned up the UI a whole lot from what they had before. Now, we're going to go through some of the findings from this, and I'll give my analysis of what this means for mobile and just a bit on this. But 55% were on iOS devices, while 45% were on Android. Of the people who played this, 77% played mobile games daily, 91% played at least weekly mobile games, and 87% of them also played RuneScape regularly, while 8% of the respondents have not played regularly within the month previous to the test, and most had been with RuneScape for over 6 years, with only 4% starting in the last 5 years. So these were dedicated RuneScape veterans. The top five activities on mobile were skilling, combat, slayer, combat bossing, clue scrolls, and quests, which, I mean, sounds pretty general, right?
Yeah, that's about everything.
Revolution was the preferred combat style at 82%.
Well, yes.
Of course, obviously. On mobile, right?
Yeah.
And now, basically, with this, they ran a survey where they asked testers to give ratings based on the following points. And here's what people said who completed the survey. And these are scored out of 5. So interaction got a 3.7 out of 5. Camera controls, 3.99. Interaction menu, the mini menu, 3.11. The minimap, 3.61. Chat, 3.36. Combat, 3.11. And overall, testers rated RS Mobile's interface 3.84. So, you know, we're in the, you know, the 3 range. I don't know if that's good enough, personally.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Like, there wasn't any bigger numbers than no 4s, like none.
Yeah. And, you know, vast majority is going to be used for skilling. 97% of the people said they'd be satisfied to play with the current RS Mobile on skilling. 55% only for combat, 46% chatting with friends, 40% trading, and combat low-level bosses, 36%. So you can see here the problem is with the combat side of things with this. Now, here are the
which I would totally expect.
Yeah, yeah. Like, here are the main areas that had issues with RS Mobile. 53% said that it didn't meet their expectations for chatting with friends, 42% for high-level bosses, 26% for combat general, 25% for Dungeoneering, and 23% for quests. So as you can see here, there's still a significant portion of the community that had issues with mobile in this regard. So that's something that definitely needs to be cleaned up and, you know, move forward on with this. So what they're thinking of doing is they're wanting to change the way the combat powers menu works for mobile in such a way that it's going to be more intuitive to where you're dragging things away. So, and, you know, they have some screenshots here, and I think the screenshots look pretty good. I have to say so myself. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't tell by just looking at pictures. You got to know by testing it and playtesting with it. But here's what they're going to be prioritizing their game development features in the future. The mini menu is too long. So basically what that means is that the menu, when you right-click, that's, you know, too small. So they need to increase the size of it and resolve the finger issue with that. Chat, investigate, and develop on chat interfaces. Re-add the ability to change chat channels. Easier way to respond to PMs. Add a way to have always-on chat. Bank preset buttons are too small. And, you know, we talked about this when the bank taster came out.
Yeah.
Grand Exchange couldn't use the interface due to keyboard blocking search. Okay, that's a pretty big one. The child window size of inventory slots and abilities slows interaction. They're too small. Easier alking and disassembly required. Combat improvements allow testers to access the inventory, worn equipment items, and prayers easier. Combat top-level interface interaction responsiveness and setup issues were raised. Add a bezel to the world map. Device system interaction causing game to lose function. I'm not sure what that means. The keyboard was a huge source of frustration. Improve the open and close gestures for it. Top-level interfaces accommodate bezels and iPhone X-style notches and home buttons. Top-level interface layout, ribbons, and investigate the reduction of top-level interface buttons and quests. We'd like to investigate what might be causing lower confidence scores than expected. So, you see here, everything is effectively running fine from a technical perspective, right? It's just a question of getting the user experience right. And we know this here.
There's some point.
Yeah, we know this based on the bank rework taster and all the other updates that we've talked about in the past. You know, the ones that Siri on the
night.
We can go on forever about, right?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful achievement interface.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where they go on this because you need to test this on mobile. And I think we're at a point here where the mobile beta was already supposed to be out by this time, but it's not. And if this doesn't ship by 2019, there's going to be lots of people who are questioning why it was announced so soon. So,
yeah, well, and if it's not out by 2019, see, what I'm afraid of is they're missing. They're just missing the boat. They're being behind. Because by then we might be on to the next thing. It might not even be mobile that starts. They need to be thinking about the next big thing, not how do we catch up with what was hot 2 years ago. I don't know. That's what worries me.
And, you know, my biggest question about this is that is there currently a UX UI designer in-house that helps them out with these issues? Because it sounds like it sounds like from this that the developers are asking these questions about UI and whatnot and running the surveys, but at the end of the day, it doesn't feel like we've heard from an interaction specialist at Jagex. That is something that would be really great if they had and we could hear from on this.
Well, it was someone that you would think you would need for a mobile game.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
We're not talking about like a want. We're kind of talking about someone that would be essential to the process.
So that's my biggest concern about this. Now, they said, so what's next? Since the May 2018 playlist, they have made a number of changes, including changes to the mini menu for mobile having required a huge overhaul by the tech team, and the changes will now allow for the content teams to make changes to the visual appearance and have more control on what and how information is displayed. And there's still work to do, but they're getting it close to being testable. And this is one of the key areas that will transform the RS Mobile experience and is key to a more permanent closed beta, always on. So basically, this means that the mini menu and having changes made by the tech team that make the game in essence more playable is necessary to go to a permanent closed beta. Now, drop-down menu options also had the height increased. And I mean, if you look at these on the live game versus in the mobile menu, you could actually see how these were increased. And it's just common sense to increase menu options when you're dealing with mobile like that. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, chat has been rearranged to always be in the top left of the screen. They added a reply to PM button, which I'm just having a look at this here and I can't see it. I don't know what reply to PM would be. Maybe it's not in the screenshot. But anyways, they added a button to swap between standard and social ribbons, which would presumably allow you to access other areas of the gameplay, though I don't know what would be on the standard ribbon. Full screen chat was removed, and a fully minimized chat has been re-added with message notifications, and they made certain messages that might be considered spam to no longer trigger a notification on a mobile device.
Oh, that's good.
And they are also providing an easier way to switch between chat channels, which was a known issue, which we have now addressed. So it seems as though most of the chat issues here are being addressed, and they have already increased the size of the bank preset buttons and modified the grand exchange issues they were having. And now they're underway with the settings rewrite. So you're basically going to be seeing a less graphical form of the settings that we have in the live game compared to what we have the mobile-friendly version, where you'll be able to go into, you know, combat and then experience and toggle on the various types of experience. And, you know, it is less graphical, but I think at the end of the day, this is better for mobile. So.
Yeah, anything to take, you know, decrease the busyness on a mobile device is good.
Yeah. Ribbon, backpack, and action windows. Testers said that clickable components as something were something they wanted to improve on mobile, and they made the following changes. They increased the slot sizes of the backpack, worn equipment, and ability books, as well as provided larger text where possible, including on the friends list, larger buttons on the ribbon, which you can see in these screenshots, and the height of the child windows now adapts if the minimap and or combat mode is hidden. And I think that's definitely makes sense at this point. If you look at these screenshots here, you'll see that these buttons are now clearly thumb size, which is what you want on a mobile device that you're holding horizontally. So that's good. And, you know, like the interface looks good, and it's a definite progression from if you scroll up to the top post and see what it was like when they ran the first test, right? It's a lot more refined and whatnot. I think there's still a ways to go with this. And for me personally, based on what I've seen here, I would say, based on the state they're at, I would say expect a public beta near the end of 2018. That's would be my guess on this, where we're at right now. I could be wrong.
Well, so, let's hope.
Yeah, fingers crossed, right? I mean, I mean, wouldn't it be great to, you know, be on a plane with Wi-Fi going somewhere and have access to this, right?
Oh, it'd be great. Well, and the stuff that I'm looking for, it seems like they actually do without a problem. So, you know, I mean, I'm looking at skilling.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Looks fine to me.
Yeah. They're also bringing in a new target switching system for combat, which they say this is a feature that will allow you to enable the targeting system. In this, you can toggle between a variety of settings and will be available to mobile as well as desktop users. And basically, the choices are to set up cycle target forwards keybind, set up a target backwards keybind and set up a direct targeting keybind. And then you'll be able to set a maximum targeting distance, so how many squares away it would be, and then targeting mode radial. I'm not entirely sure what that means.
Huh. I guess if it's coming from any direction in a certain space,
I don't know.
I guess.
And then PvP area target selection, you'll be able to choose between NPCs and players, NPCs or players. There was a GIF associated with this, but it appears to have been hit to death by people quoting it because Imgur is now giving a 403 denied on this. We already talked about the world map. NPC dialogue advancing through chat dialogue is no longer restricted to clicking the continue button. You can now click anywhere within the area where the button to advance dialogue is. So basically anywhere on the chat dialogue box will work on mobile, which makes sense. You don't want to make people look for a small target. Now, optimization-wise, ongoing performance, battery use, and device-specific improvements. These should help reduce how hot the phone battery gets when playing RuneScape.
Good.
Improvements to how the app will deal with connections and the amount of data use. That was a big concern for people. Because you don't want to have people download a 5 gig patch on LTE. Like, it'll do it, but that sucks away most people's data.
Mm-hmm.
Resolved a bug on mobile where some actions would stop any audio from playing. Boy, that sounds like some of the Mac bugs we have audio-related here.
Mm-hmm.
They've also been going through and fixing the game cache. And with this, they've been clearing out older, unused archives, and what they're wanting to do with this is effectively shrink the size of it down, because I think we're down to around 5 gigs right now if I looked at my cache recently. So, and a little bit on contextual keyboards and whatnot, but... So, and then they end off by saying, while the technical challenges of bringing RuneScape onto mobile have been huge, they're getting closer by the week to have an experience that feels satisfying, and recent changes have had a huge impact on this, but there's still several areas to look at. So, they're going to run some more small beta tests in the near future, but there's still a number of areas before we can be happy to give a date for an always-on closed beta. So...
All
it's
right.
going to be a while, but it's progressing at least.
Yeah, I thought it would be further, but I never mind waiting as long as I can, you know, I'd rather have it good and wait than to have it half-baked. And those scores weren't terrible, but I sure think they can improve them.
So. Yeah, definitely. I'd like to hear from the UI side of this, you know, specifically who's in charge of the UI on this. I think that'd be a good thing to hear from, though I don't know if we have that.
Yeah. So.
All right. I believe that's it for RS content this week. Anything else? Anything else you'd like to go back over?
No, I think we summed it up pretty well.
All righty then. Well, I'll just remind everyone that if you want... to see the weekly bite, you can do that at youtube.com/rsbnb. That's where we go through the week's patch notes and the week's update and provide you with all the pertinent information you need to get your RuneScape week off the bat. So youtube.com/rsbnb if you want to take part in that or watch it. So all right. There's actually one thing I forgot to mention with this, and I think this was forgot in the shuffle here because no one complained about it. This week is also brought in the package to allow people to purchase the double keys. So that gives you twice the amount of daily keys for 30 days.
Yeah, okay.
£3.99, $6.99 US, or €5.69.
Well... enjoy that. You'll probably get twice as much as you would from the Rune Pass.
Right? And see, going back to that, this feels like this is more pay to win than Rune Pass.
Yes. Yes. It does. It is. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, just remove the XP from the gold and stars from the gold Rune Pass and make it cosmetic and it'll be good.
Yeah, and then let us run the company from here on out. We'll help you. We will help you, I promise.
Yeah. So, All right. So before we move on to tech news, I'd just like to take a moment and thank our Patreon subscribers this week on the podcast. And you guys do make the world to us, mean the world to us. And this week, our Patreon subscribers are Adam T., Rory W., Cody T., Nora, and Fury. So just a slight update for how the Patreon is going. We're currently in the process of producing the first monthly bite, and as we mentioned last week, it'll be titled Evolution of Combat 6 years later. We're just, you know, gathering data at this point, and I've got it mostly into a show notes format, so we'll be recording that next week and releasing it. You'll hear it by the time you're hearing the next episode of RSBNB Update, if you're wondering where we're at with that. Video-wise, that'll either be next week or the following week for the debut of that, depending on how the technical issues go. Just sorting through a couple little things still, but it's mostly there. So,
Shane, you know you are not allowed to use a cardboard cutout of some other person, right?
So, you might be wondering, what is this Patreon thing? Well, you can find it at patreon.com/RSBNB. We offer three tiers here. We have our valued contributor tier for $1 a month. You'll receive a special mention in our show notes, essentially in the credits of RSBNB Update, and you help RSBNB fund the costs of hosting and production of the show. For $3 a month, it's just the RSBNB Update VIP. You'll receive a VIP badge on Discord, special mention on the podcast the week you subscribe, and early access to our show notes. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out each and every week on the podcast and exclusive access to the outtakes we use for the clip show, in addition to all the other previous rewards. And thus far, we've unlocked the monthly bit or the monthly bite and the video show. We're 80% of the way to unlocking our live show at $45 a month. So we'll definitely be looking forward to that as time progresses on. So if you want to find out more about that, you can do that at patreon.com/RSBNB. So once again, thank you guys to your support. You mean the world to us. And I'll just mention all your guys' names again for the hell of it. Adam T., Rory W., Cody T., Nora, and Fury. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So the EU dodged a bit of a bullet this week.
Yeah, they did, huh?
Yeah. So everyone was worried this week that, maybe the consumption of memes in the EU might ultimately be shut down. Well, you know, no. The EU Parliament rejected this part of the copyright law that would have effectively banned memes and other forms of parody on the internet this week. So the copyright directive, which contained Article 13, was rejected by 318 votes to 278 with 31 abstentions. And this will be debated again in September, which they say will give policymakers more time to discuss and refine the crucial dossier. So basically, this sends the law back to the drawing board, and it needs to be rebuilt all the way up from the beginning of this. And people were worried with this because what it effectively meant is that if you copied an image and you modified it online, you could potentially get slapped with copyright fines, or the host could, you know, face copyright fines, which if you look at a major web hosting company like Imgur, which hosts, you know, I bet 90% of the memes on the internet, you would have an issue with them and copyright. So it's definitely something that people needed to be worried about with this.
Yeah, that was obviously bought and paid for by big companies to make that. Boy, I hope that they you can't bribe the European politicians, can you? Like you can here. I mean, donate to their
campaigns. Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, God. I hope not, because otherwise they're just going to have two more months to dump money into
basically what it would have meant. If I was hosting something and there was an image on my website that was copyrighted, I could be held liable for that even if I didn't post the image or it wasn't hosted with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, BPI, which represents record labels in the UK, said that it would continue to work with policymakers to explain how the proposed directive will benefit not just European creativity, but also internet users and the technology sector. Meanwhile, the Mozilla Foundation, which of course creates Firefox, was very happy with the vote, and they said that MEPs, members of European Parliament, had rejected rubber stamping proposals that would have forced internet companies to filter the web and would have introduced an unprecedented tax on linking online. And when you think about it, you know, 318 voted no, while 278 voted yes. If you look this up and you sum that up and you take a, you know, you take a percentage of it, that's a 46% of the people who voted yes on this thing.
Well, 46% of the people were paid to vote yes for that thing.
Though I don't know.
I know. I do. I'm that cynical. That's how it works here. I have no reason to believe it doesn't work that way everywhere. What? Why would you vote yes if you were not being paid to vote yes?
You read the law and you don't know how the internet works? I mean, that's kind of the dumb and blind issue of it, but I mean.
But these people are old. I mean.
Exactly.
You know.
And I mean, you don't get any more. Like, this is the EU, but, you know, go back to the US, and I think it was in 2006 or 2007, there was a senator from Alaska, the one who died in a plane crash, said the internet was a series of tubes.
Tubes? Yeah, well, we've got the. Yeah, we've got stupid politicians on lock over here. Got the cream of the crop.
And, you know, both sides were active in this. And, you know, Article 13 is the one we're talking about now. But Article 11 also was in this as well. And Article 11 was to prevent online content aggregators from sharing links without paying for them. Google News, Reddit, Dig. So, you know.
Watch out. Yeah, watch out, people. And, you know, they're trying to close
it now. They're
trying
to regulate the internet in the EU. And, you know, this can't happen because, you know, I always point this out about internet laws, whether it's net neutrality, which, you know, we went through and we explained because most of the media wasn't explaining it properly. And most of the tech media was lobbying for their side. But when it comes down to internet laws, it doesn't just affect the EU. It affects all the other websites because you can, you know, have a server, you can have your internet connection, and you can make it look like you're coming from the United States when you're accessing a website. You can make it look like you're coming from the EU, depending on that. So internet connections can flow and they can pass through. And, you know, they don't normally do that for our North American ones, pretty much stay in North America. But there are odd cases where we do query from the EU and whatnot. So we could potentially be subject to these laws as well in terms of not seeing specific content from the EU in this case, even though I live in Canada. I could be shortchanged on the content if this thing were to pass.
Yep.
So,
Exactly.
This is something that we'll definitely be watching going forward coming September because, you know, it's going to be an issue. But
yeah. Hey, we got our first post and, you know, net neutrality package AT&T put out, which actually included everything we were telling you that they were going to do. So, throttling, all of it, it's all in there. So, be vigilant, people. Be vigilant.
All right. Our next piece of tech news is Microsoft is rumored to be introducing a $400 Surface to compete with the iPad.
Whew, I want it.
Yeah. And, you know, when was the last time you heard somebody competing with Apple on price?
You know they don't, but I don't know why. Because that's the Achilles heel of Apple.
Like,
their
Apple
price.
Stuff is normally expensive, but when you look at it, yes. Apple's got a really compelling educational argument. You know, if you're a normal person, you pay $399 for this iPad. But if you're a student, you can get it for $329, which rivals the price of Chromebooks and laptops. And Apple has a lock on that market, and this is such a good position for Apple to be in. Because if you go back to the 90s, there was not a school that you could walk into, at least here, that didn't have Mac computers in them. They later eventually switched to PCs and whatnot, but they had lots of Apple devices because Apple had a lock on education at the time.
Well, there are some schools here that you'd be lucky to walk in and find a computer. But
that's a different story.
See, but I remember, like, we were in a pilot program where everybody got computers to take home, like, in fourth grade. They were all, I would say they were all IBMs.
Okay. So, all right.
Yeah, they were all PCs.
All right. So I guess it could have varied where you were. But this was revealed through an FCC filing, because anytime a new device comes out that's going to, you know, communicate with LTE radios, it needs to be talked about by the FCC. And what this says is it's likely going to be a $400 Surface that'll have an Intel processor that's going to be a Pentium and not a Core model. So what this effectively means is that these will be a new 10-inch size of Surface. The Surface is 12 inches normally, and it will be less powerful than the Surfaces that you can get that have been out for the last number of years. But when it comes down to it, if you're just looking at doing, you know, standard internet activities or, you know, schoolwork, the Pentium chips will be absolutely fine with this.
How will it be at mobile gaming?
It won't.
Okay.
It won't. It won't. And that could be, you know, one of the advantages that the iPad would still have is that, you know, even the low-cost iPads are still relatively powerful. So.
Right.
But, I mean, this just opens up a whole other suite of options because, you know, people might want an iPad or they might not want an iPad. But when it comes down to it, these Surfaces run Windows 10, the same version of Windows 10 that you use for, you know, gaming, or the same version of Windows 10 that you use for developing software. So these are going to be powerful machines for $300, you know, $400 that Microsoft is offering with good hardware. So I think this is going to be something to write home about when they finally arrive. And it's worth noting that the current Surface, the cheapest one you can get, is $799 US.
So
half the price with this, and I mean, it's the perfect time to be introducing that for back to school. And you know, I just wonder how, you know, if there's an Apple store and a Microsoft store in the mall, and you know, Microsoft does good marketing on this, and people go into the Microsoft store first, they try the Surface, then they go try an iPad, but then they go back to the Microsoft store. That's a win for Microsoft.
And I could see that happening. I mean, because is the iPad going to have that much more to justify that additional cost?
Like, well, these are going to be the same price, $400
each. Oh, they're the same price. Oh, see, I'm a couple years behind because I know, like, my wife has an iPad and it was like $600.
Yep. Yeah.
So, like,
that's what they were. That's what they were. And, you know, Apple now has the $400 iPad. They also have the iPad Pro, which is around $800, I think. But so this is competing with that $400 entry line iPad, which is powerful enough for most people. So, I mean, it's going to be a really interesting discussion that a lot of people are going to have with this. And, you know, I know Earth or Reed, however you want to call him, as a fan of the Surface and whatnot. And that's his primary mobile computer. He has one of the, you know, the Intel Core i5 Surfaces from a number of years ago and swears by it. And he had an iPad previously, and the Surface does everything that he wanted because he just wanted that little extra edge to have, you know, a little bit more power user experience to it. So,
yeah, well, and having a Surface that is going to integrate with everything on your home desktop is a big thing. I mean, a lot of times your tablet is, you know, it's different because a lot of people are using an iPad, but your computer at home is usually a PC. I mean, not everybody, but generally.
And like I got gamers. News for you. You can run RuneScape on this.
Oh!
Because it's running Windows.
That's a big question. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, I mean, if you want a tablet that can run RuneScape, here it is. You don't need for RS Mobile. I don't know how it'll work with the Pentium graphics, but hey, I mean, it's there, right?
Yeah. I'm telling you, you can run RuneScape on a toaster, man. Yeah, it works.
Oh.
You might be like poor David and just see different size squares.
You know what the funny part is? Is I need to build a modular recording setup for when I go to RuneFest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm sure we have some fun discussions to come about.
Yeah, that's going to be happening in August. What we're effectively doing in July is we're getting the Patreon stuff into a theme where we can just roll with it. And in August and September, that's where we're going to be discussing all the RuneFest stuff. So if you guys have ideas what you'd like to see for RuneFest coverage, PM me on the forums, rsbnb.com/forums. Talk to me on Discord. Shane-1169 is my Discord name. Or just, DM or mention at RSBNB on Twitter if you have ideas for that. So, all right, bit of a sidetrack there. So let's talk about Facebook.
Do we have to? Do we have to? Can we just say they're too damn big now? Just split them up, something. Jeez. How many times is this, Shane? How many times? What, you gave
too
me a
many.
Week off?
Too many. So this week, posted July 2nd, Facebook bug temporarily unblocked people from 800,000 plus block lists.
You don't say. There was a Facebook bug? What?
No way. Facebook says that 800,000 users were impacted by this, that silently unblocked some people they had blocked. This happened between May 29th and June 5th, and the bug didn't go so far as making the would-be blocked user individuals your friends, even if they were your friend prior to the block. So anything an affected individual might have posted to a friends-only audience should have remained private. However, it would have allowed a block user to do things like contact you on Messenger or try and re-add you as a friend. Facebook isn't saying what caused the bug, but they sent out a notification to anyone they believe was affected.
So, good news for all you stalkers out there. You know who did that? A pissed off ex-boyfriend. That's who did that. Or girlfriend. Someone. Someone was jaded.
A Facebook engineer provided some details on the cause of the bug. And, they essentially said that blocking tools are critical for victims of stalking and abuse. Facebook, why did this happen? And then there was a blog posting here about this. And they say it's difficult to give the right level of technical detail in a blog post, but more context here is basically most visible user data on Facebook is stored in pairs called associations, which control what posts people can see and what actions they take. Okay, that makes sense. Like, if you are friends with someone and you make a post, that will be paired up and you'll be able to see that. Now, a bug mistakenly deleted some of these associations across Facebook and Messenger, which caused the blocks to be lost. And, I don't like it to become a theme that we're constantly talking about Facebook here, because I think Facebook has its own set of issues and we've dealt with that many times here on the show, right? But
no, I mean, well, that's the sad thing. We're just covering the news.
But
if they would stay out of it, we wouldn't have to cover it.
What I want to say with this is, just general internet 101 at this point, I feel, and that's that if there is ever a thing that you think you might not want someone to see online, that you might not want the public to see, that you might not want one of the people you block to see online, don't post it online, because if you do that, you could unfortunately be victim of one of these bugs.
Yeah, that's a rule to live by. Don't send any pictures that you're not afraid of getting out into the public.
Yeah. And, that's the main reason I wanted to talk about this. And, block lists are one thing, and I'm sure some people were inconvenienced by it. But it's not as big as, user data breaches, let's just say. So.
Right. But is this happening over and over and over because, as a company, they're too big to be able to manage their user base? It's just too much going on. It's too big.
Well, I mean, when you're looking at something like this, it's, you know, it's kind of like the RuneScape engine where you can make changes in one area when you're dealing with a large code base like that, that could have unforeseen consequences elsewhere. So it's not, you know, some willful ignorance thing. It likely was a real bug that, you know, just ended up happening. So.
Okay. Well, Mark, we're watching you.
Yeah. All right.
We're watching you.
All right. Well, that's it for tech news this week. I don't believe there's anything else we want to mention.
Nope. That's the exciting stuff there.
Indeed it is. All right. So moving on, our July skill of the month is strength. And, you know, we're off to an interesting start here. We do have Sorensen 57 in first place again, gaining 12.3 million strength XP so far. Parnassius is in second with 5.7, and the RR Man is in third with 288,000 strength XP. And, you know, it's different than, like, a crafting skill of the month where you're where you need to pay for it, whereas this is just a matter of, you know, spending as much time as you want towards training it. So,
yeah.
But
it's a good time, you know, with the elite dungeons.
Yeah, definitely. And everything. Definitely. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, since it is the start of the month, I will also tell us about the RSBNB Informer roundup this month. So if you head on over to informer.rsbnb.com, you can see the Temple of Informer. I know it's a great title there, but it's a nice little recap of the month that was June. So we had the Hall of Memories, which Alex talked about. David made his article on PVM accuracy, which, you know, anyone who's interested in PVM and knowing how you can do more with the combat system, you should definitely give it a read. And then, of course, we had the Temple of Amanishi, which Syria uncovered in Reinventing Raids, and Utanis in Jurassic World Evolution. So all that and more at informer.rsbnb.com.
Right on. So do we have some achievements?
Yeah, we do. How about you start us off?
All right. So first, on July 4th, we have Halal Bacon with 99 fishing. Very nice. And Easel with 99 thieving on July 1st.
Nicely done, nicely done. Next up is Touchpad Pro with 200 million Divination XP on June 29th. I was online when he got that one, and I saw that. That was quite the thing to witness.
I bet, yeah, wow.
And Thieves finish off the Slayer skill, getting 200 million Slayer XP on the 28th of June. And finally,
nice.
One of my friends, Sebage Seb from Clan Quest, got 120 thieving on June 28th. Congratulations.
Very nice, very nice. Look at these achievements. That's some XP right there, boy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I mean, we only had 299s this week. The rest were either 120 or 200 mil. Let's say something.
Yep.
All right. So, time for a pick of the week. So, have you ever wanted one of those little games that, you know, is just kind of a nice way to lean back and not stress when you're playing it?
Yeah, all the time.
So this is something that's free. There are in-app purchases to remove the ads, but they don't get in the way with the game. So basically what this is a game for iOS and Android, and it's called Square It. It's kind of hard to search for because the first character is a square. So just search for Square It on the App Store. It's Square It with a space between square and it with an exclamation point at the end. So that's what you're looking for. And the link will be in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. But the idea behind it is that you have either one or two squares on the screen. And what you're presented with is a series of mental challenges that require you to fill the shape in question with squares. I almost said squares. Scares. It's not a scary game at all. So you basically just drag your finger around, and what makes this game hard is that you cannot go over areas that you have already gone over. So basically what you need to do is you need to ensure that when you're doing this, you're not getting yourself into a corner, or you're not boxing yourself into a point where you can only go over areas that you've already gone over. So they get harder as it progresses through it. And basically, what you want to do is you want to kind of try and pre-think about where you're setting this off, because what I just did here when I was going through this is there was a basically what I did is I boxed myself in and I did a circle. So you don't want to do that. But basically, you just drag your finger around and, you know, you move both squares at the same time. So you don't want to get stuck is basically the name of the game. And when it comes down to it, it's just a fun little mental exercise, something that you can spend a certain number of minutes on if you're trying to, you know, get something done, but you need a break. And when it comes down to it, I don't know. These kind of games are just fun. They're, you know, they're just really innocuous. And when you complete them, you get a sense of satisfaction because you are doing something that, you know, is indeed mentally challenging, but at the same time isn't as mentally challenging as, say, you know, solving a math puzzle, for example. So
yeah, this reminds me kind of like the modern version of the, you ever seen the like little triangle piece of wood, it's got all the pegs in it,
right?
And you have to yeah.
Like you kind of got to figure out where to put them, right? And you mm-hmm. know, reach the end of the little track. But anyway, Square It is what it's called. It's available on both iOS and Android. Link will be in the show notes to that. So that's the pick of the week.
Cool.
All right. What have you been up to this week on RS?
Some energy gathering, and I have not went back to the Elite Dungeons because I got the news later that night on the last recording that they nerfed the story mode. So I was like, well, I guess I'm done with that. And then few little Slayer assignments, but that's been about it.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what people will do in the Temple of Amanishi now that story mode has been nerfed. From the sounds of it, the rewards from the second one seem a lot more lucrative.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, I don't even know if we can call it a nerf. I mean, it's like they just took a hatchet and just crack.
Yeah, and, like, and I mean, I think that says that that was not the intended way of getting Dungeoneering tokens with that. So, anyways, yeah, you're probably wondering about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, totally. This week, you know, I did a couple of clue scrolls. Not much to write home about there, but you know, there's always, you know, RuneScape always never ceases to amaze me, right? When you are doing clue scrolls, and they brought out the clue scroll overhaul update back in February, they brought out these items, and you know, some of them are make sense, like the Robin Hood outfit or, you know, the Second Age outfit. But I'm doing this clue scroll, and lo and behold, I get this unicorn Rhydon toy. Have you ever seen one of these in game?
I've never seen one except for when they did the stream and they had it. Oh, that's great.
They're absolutely insane, these things. I mean, they look, I don't know what to say, hideous or hilarious, but
I'm surprised you didn't sell it.
Oh, I tried to. I tried to. It wouldn't even sell for 500K.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Can you break that down?
You could break that down for components.
So you could get, fortunate components for cheap?
You could. You could, but I don't know. I mean, I just had to laugh at this because you get this item, you put it on, and your player goes galloping across the map. And, you know, not only that, it distorts your hands, and it makes horse noises too.
Yeah, but we can't have horses. Well, it's a unicorn.
Right. You know. It's just absolutely absurd. So I just wanted to point that out to everyone.
I really feel like it would look better if you gave it to Sirion so he could parade around in his outfit on the little unicorn.
I tried that. I went to find him in game, and you know, it's just the okay.
That would have been a good picture.
I had a picture. I don't know where it went though. So I just, you know, you see these items in game, but sometimes you don't know how absurd they're going to be. So I would say if you get any of the new Treasure Trail items, you know, just try and put them on and you're going to have a laugh about them. Let me just grab the picture here quickly. But aside from that, you know, just divination training for energy, that's still as great a money maker as ever. Just stand by here 1 second while I grab the picture. It's absolutely absurd, let me just tell you that. And I honestly couldn't stop laughing for a couple minutes when I saw it. Like, let's see. Yeah, here we go. Copy URL. I was wondering where I put it. All right, here we go. For those of you guys watching on video, I now have the link for it. Yeah, let's have a look. So this is what the unicorn looks like, and as you can see, you know, it kind of makes your player's hands go puffy, but at the same time, it makes all kinds of weird noises as well. So yeah, it's a unicorn. But beyond that, not much to write home about.
Oh. I guess it's something to ride home about.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. So. Anyways, believe that's it for this week's episode of RSB&B Update. So we will see you all next week for our next show. And in the meantime, if you want to join us in-game, you can do that at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. What was that?
Siri.
Oh, okay. Lovely.
She's getting lippy.
So Friends Chat Bits Bytes. We're on Twitter at RSB&B. And if you're interested in checking out how the Patreon is going, you can find all that and more at patreon.com/RSB&B. So we'll see you next week, everyone. And remember to be civil when talking with Jagex.
Take care, everybody.